Well, good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Welcome aboard. What a nice sunny day it is on the day after Cinco de Mayo.
That's right. It's the in-between day. It's Cinco de Mayo
plus
Thursday before Friday.
Which means only three more working days until Monday, and our guest will let us know about that today as he comes rolling through here, since he's probably one of the busiest men in Reading. Speaking of busy men, we have Bad Bob. Here's Bad Bob. He's trying to drink coffee. He's trying to keep all these little dials and knobs running the right direction, which sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't. But he is our Bad Bob.
Well, good morning, and having a fun time doing it.
So what's going on today, Bob? Don't hurt yourself.
Really enjoyed the drive in. I had some excellent music on the iPod, looking at up at the snow-covered Shasta Bali and thinking, life is not too bad. Life is good.
In reality, though, you were really listening to the news as you were coming in with Jim Brummer.
If you say so, boss.
Okay. And speaking of boss, here she is, Linda Bott.
Oh, you're full of it this morning. Love it, though. Keep it rolling. Currently 49 degrees. It's going to be high today of between 70 and 76. That is pretty cool. Tonight, mostly clear with a low of around 40 to 48. I like when they do forecasts that give you that kind of variation of degrees. A span between 40 and 48 tonight, you know. So last night, just to kind of give you, like, what are you doing Cinco de Mayo? All these things we could have done. You know, we love Mexican food. Let's, you know, celebrate it. We were jonesing for a filet mignon. So I went to R&R Meats, and I found myself standing next to this girl I knew, and she had her two kids with her, and her kids didn't know Cinco de Mayo. I said, do you know what Cinco de Mayo is? And I found myself thinking, well, that's when Mexico celebrates her independence like we do as Americans. I'm wrong. What is Cinco de Mayo?
Cinco de Mayo is a relatively minor holiday in Mexico, celebrating a victory of the Mexican army in a town called Pueblo. But it's their Independence Day is actually, I think, in September. It's much more important in the U.S. as a party excuse than it is in Mexico.
That's what I heard. They said, you go to say, hey, it's Cinco de Mayo, Independence Day in Mexico, and they look at you like, what? That might be a party for you gringo. But not us.
Well, that's true. You know, you go down. I've made the trek south before to Encinitas, Ensenada on Cinco de Mayo.
I'm sure you have.
Everybody seems to be having a good time because everybody down there is Americans down there. So, okay, now what's the difference between going down to Ensenada for Cinco de Mayo and the day after Cinco de Mayo?
Chances are, in those times, the only way you would have been beheaded is if you drank too much.
No, that's not it. That means is after you finish Cinco de Mayo, you come back the next day, we don't stay. The people that come across the border to the north many times just stay here. There's your big difference. Oh, okay, you were figuring, how could he get back to Arizona from Cinco de Mayo Day? Well, it's easy. I keep hearing things about people saying stupid things about the law in Arizona. You know, my favorite one now is how they're issuing new uniforms to the state patrol with these leather jackets, and they come down like leather overcoats and everything.
Okay.
It's like the Nazi stormtroopers.
Enough of the visuals we've had.
No, I mean, it's like, it's stupid. It's stupid that things are saying. Okay, you know what's even stupider is the bombing attempt in New York. You know what? We're not doing a great job on security. We're just lucky. We're just lucky that they have incompetence trying to blow up their underwear and blow up an SUV. It's not because we're doing the right thing, my friends. Janet Neapolitano, where did she come from? Oh, let me think. Arizona. And what kind of shape is Arizona in? It's in horrible shape because she let the borders be open. She let people come in. The crime rate in Phoenix is one of the highest in the United States. And this is the woman who's running our national security system. Oh, guess what? The guy was on a no-fly list. He's on a watch list. He's been in Pakistan. And the only reason the SUV didn't blow up is because perhaps his training in Pakistan wasn't that good. And who were they looking for at the beginning? How many times have you heard oh, we have a videotape of a middle-aged white guy. He's changing his sweatshirt. He's two blocks from the SUV in New York. Okay, let me think. A middle-aged white guy in New York changing his sweatshirt. Okay, looks like somebody we should be looking for. And then, you know, how about a 18 to 45-year-old Middle Eastern Muslim that might be the one? I mean, if you take a look at everybody that's had anything to do with terrorism in the last few years, that might be the one you want to look for. But then again, that would be profiling, and can't do that. Okay, I feel much better now. This is Carl on the Bot. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. We stream at KCNR 1460, and you can write to Linda at Linda at KCNR 1460.
Coming up, you've got the Asphalt
Cowboys. We have all
Cowboys.
Types of people here.
We have a Victor from California Decor that's going to tell you about one of the most fun, exciting Shop Hop events going on this Saturday. That's right after this message. Again, this is KCNR 1460, clearly News Talk Radio.
A mother...
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Hey, our phone line's here, 605-4567. You know, this is an open line show. We talk about different things, but it's here for you to have a voice. So we're going to go to line one. John, you're on KCNR.
Good morning, Carl. How are you this morning?
I'm peachy.
I didn't hear you say hello to your lovely wife. Is she there this morning?
I did say hello to her.
Oh, okay.
You must have tuned in late because I'm always here.
Because I called her the boss.
Oh. The boss.
All right.
You know, they call Bruce Springsteen the boss. No, he's an underling compared to this boss.
I understand that perfectly. A male could never be the ultimate boss. We
That's
know
right.
That.
You know, no. You can sing, you can dance, but
I'm
not
smiling,
the boss.
I'm smiling, but go ahead.
Yeah. Listen, Carl, I listened to your rant this morning. Concerning profiling.
Yes.
And I don't know why, but it occurred to me, and I had to do a little Google search on this, about algebra averaging. And it says an average is a way to compute from a group of numbers or people what would a typical number be. For example, we can talk about the average height of a sixth grader in Boondock County, or normally average is computed as the sum of numbers divided by their quantity. But what's the difference between profiling and averaging? Wouldn't you think that if you took and eliminated those numbers that don't apply, such as fat old men in middle-aged groups of 45 to 100, and...
Now, you've seen that motorcycle group I ride with, huh?
Or bag ladies walking the street with their cart, and get down to the probability that the person who put that SUV in place with explosives, and it might be a Middle Eastern human being who had an interest in providing terror to the streets of New York. What is wrong with law enforcement using the laws of averages?
I don't see anything wrong with it at all. I think, you know, mathematically you can say it. If you look at every attack we've had, that, you know, from the coal to the, or, you know, the take, well, of course, the takeover of the Iranian embassy, that was kind of a no-brainer. You talk about every attack that's been done against the United States. If you just take and just, okay, let's just take the people that have done that and let's just average them out. Oh, what do we have?
Exactly.
I mean, I haven't seen, you know, it, to me, it is still ludicrous. I still see the 80-year-old lady being pushed in her wheelchair over to the special area over there while they wander and make her get up and take off her little slippers and everything. This is so gross.
Well, you know what? It doesn't the same thing apply to the I-5 drug corridor?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's criticism of the authorities for stopping probable case scenarios. And people can say, without cause, there can be cause on any vehicle on the road to be stopped. At one point or another, it's speeding or going too slow or has a mechanical failure or something. But the probability is, who is going to be carrying the drugs up and down I-5?
Well, so far it appears that they're doing a pretty good job in picking them up.
I think so, too.
But then again, you know, what if they're only getting like 2%?
I think they probably are only getting about
2%. What if they're just getting the ones they throw out there so that they can be caught and they're running in a different way?
You mean giving up a few sacrificial lambs?
Oh yeah, and they do something. They just tell them, here, and they give them a car that's got a light out or something like that. And indeed, what they have is Max and Maxine riding down the road in their little pink Cadillac with Mary Kay all over. You know, and it's loaded with 8,000 pounds of, and they're sitting there with their little, so.
That would certainly be the sensible thing to do. And maybe we should start running one of these drug cartels, Carl.
Well, you know what? Next Friday, just as long as we're talking about drugs, we're not having a tobacco and brew, but next Friday out at Tobacco and Brew, we're having a panel on marijuana. And we're going to have a grower, a user, one that provides it, and they've asked if they could have an ACLU lawyer there, and
well,
I said, bring him on.
I mean, we need to bring it on. We need to really
bring
it on.
We need to talk about this.
I'm sure Doug would be happy to show up and do that.
For those people, John, that are adamantly opposed, here's a chance to have a forum where you can get inside the mind of people who use and why they use. And, we also just received an email from a doctor who is moving up here, opening an office. It's happening here where I can't mention his name, but he is there. You know how you've heard before where doctors come in?
Yes.
Well, now
he's
going
to move his practice up here.
Moving to practice. So he can then do God's work by giving marijuana recommendations.
Good Lord knows he's going to do a thriving business.
next week, I can't even begin to tell you the guest list we have next week, John. But we're going to talk about that later, and we've got to go. We've got people here. But, John, thanks a lot for your call. I like the idea of mathematics. We just use the rule of mathematics
to poll
people. And change
the word from profiling to averaging.
There you go. That's all we're doing is averaging today.
There you go.
Okay.
Talk to you later.
All right, thanks
a lot.
Have
a good day, guys.
All right, you bet. Whoa, Bob, am I still on, Bob? Bob, no more coffee today. This is Carl and Linda Bott, KCNR 1460. We've got to take a quick break here, and then we come back. We've got our next guest rolling in here. This is Free Fire Radio, clearly News Talk Radio. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. It's 7:23.
Currently 47 degrees. Today's going to be mostly sunny with a high of 70 degrees. The weather's always brought to you by Ensalmo Vineyards, our
favorite
destination.
Speaking of Ensalmos, what's coming this weekend? That's right, Mother's Day. And what a perfect place to take them is to Ensalmo's Vineyard. But you better call because they were kind of filled up on Sunday with reservations.
Take your mom,
take your loved one.
Well, your
there.
Sweetheart. That's
you,
right.
You know, it doesn't, you know, it's, if you have a puppy, take her out there. It's kind of like a family.
They have trail rides, by the way.
They have trail rides. They have, it's a working cattle ranch, so you probably won't see a lot of the cattle. But you just have a great time. And the people out there take really, really good care of you.
We have something really, I love the Redding area, and I love to take my mom when she comes up here from Sacramento to some wonderful boutiques. We have very interesting stores up here, and if you don't know about them, this is the perfect opportunity to go out and support this weekend's Shop Hop. Our guest today is Victor Hnipp, who is the owner of California Decor. Good morning.
Good morning.
Tell us about, well, first of all, you're celebrating your sixth
anniversary of our store is on May 26th, but I'm not here to talk about that.
Okay.
I've got a lot to cover on
okay.
Shop Hop.
Shoot, man, I'm not saying another word. You go for it. We want people to know about this. This is a great, if you don't want to take your mom to brunch and the girls, you want to just go out with the girls and guys too. Tell us about what this is.
Okay, Shop Hop is a local collaboration of 14 stores, and it ranges from boutique stores, clothing stores, a restaurant being Deja Vu. And this Saturday, the day before Mother's Day, is your last chance to go and really get some fun shopping in with your girlfriends, because every store is going to give out a free gift in a passport shopping bag. Inside, you're going to inside each store, there's going to be a discount and door prizes. And you're also going to taste a recipe. Some people are going to have some wine and refreshments and so forth. If you like the recipe, you get the recipe card, you take that home, you go store to store, you hit all 14 stores, At the end of the day, the last store you visit will take your entry form, and they're going to put it into a drawing for $280 worth of gift certificates, $20 to each and every store. So this is about the fourth year that we're doing this. It gets bigger and bigger every year. We had to extend the hours this time. So it's actually 8 o'clock in the morning, sorry, 9 o'clock in the morning till 8 o'clock at night, giving people plenty of time to visit all 14 stores.
And so you have, on your brochure, you have a little map. And like you said, it's almost like a treasure hunt. You know, you go to store one. You don't necessarily have to start at store one. You can start at store four. But you have to get sign off of each store. And at the end of this little fun kind of, I would say, kind of a treasure hunt,
right,
you get to be in the drawing for the $280 prize.
Exactly. And part of it is just the camaraderie. You know, grab your girlfriends and just go have a day of it. You know, get breakfast at Deja Vu if you want to start there, or stop there at lunch or whatever, you know. But the whole important thing here is Shop Hop's slogan is shop out of the box. And what does that really mean? Well, what it means is, you know, shopping outside of the big box stores is how we started, but in reality, it also means shop outside of the box that gets delivered to your door from the internet, you know. And the whole advantage is that if you go to one of these local stores, and I'm not talking just Shop Hop now, I'm talking local, period, you're going to encounter a local person. They're going to help you. So for instance, some stores that are local, like Carlene's Deja Vu restaurant, she's been here 13 plus years. That is longer than the amount of time Walmart's been here. And people say, well, there's only 14 stores. But each store has at least two people managing it, okay? So one of them is always full-time. Like a California decor store, Tina and I, we're there 40 hours plus a week. Jan and her mom at Sweet Treats, they run that together. So if you take 14, multiply it by 2, you're at 28 employees. And then every single one of us has help for people that, you know, if they want a day off, they want to go to market, they want to enjoy a day at the lake, you know, we have part-time people. You add those 14 stores together, you're looking at close to 100 employees that are all local, all hired by our only 14 stores.
So we want you to go out and stimulate the economy on Saturday and have fun and giggle and enjoy what it is to perhaps walk into a store that you didn't quite know was there. Let's hear a roster of the stores.
Okay, roster of the stores. We've got on www.shophopreading.com, you can actually print out the map that we're talking about. These maps will be available at each store as well. And I'm not going to go through.
Why don't you leave a few here, too?
Yeah, okay, I will do that. But, you know, Antique Cottage and Garden, that's on the north end of town. You could start there if you want. We've got, you know, I'm not going to go through all 14 because it's going to take too much time.
All right, okay.
But shophopreading.com does have the list, does have the map, and then any store you can start with will give you a map also.
We strongly support this because we strongly support our local businesses. You know, and the big thing about this, you spend $82 at a local store, that money stays here in California, and some of it stays here in the fact that that as opposed when it goes to a big box store, it doesn't stay. You know, part of its taxes will stay, but the rest of it goes someplace
else.
Well,
we have a little bit of a breakdown. Bob, how much time do we have? Got 1 minute.
1 minute. Okay.
How do you want to tie it up in 1 minute? Go.
All right. Well, let's say that you spend $1,000 on the internet. You live in Shingletown, and you're like, well, you know what? Shopping local to me doesn't really mean Reading. So you buy a $1,000 gazebo on the internet and you pay $100 in delivery fees. Well, if you went to Reading and spent that $1,000, you'd be paying $82.50 in sales tax, which is actually less than a $100 delivery charge. $70 of that $82.50 goes to the state in Sacramento, and of course they spend it on state programs. $10 goes to Shasta County. And $250 goes to the city of Reading, and those are dollars that are spent directly here on you on programs that you're going to participate in.
Well, thank you so much, Victor Hinnip, and
Shop Hop this weekend.
Shop Hop, and you can start at Deja Vu or go to shophop.com and find out exactly how to get the map and everything that we need.
Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Join us after the messages.
Good morning, Redding.
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio. Gosh, I hope those microphones weren't turned on then. Bad Bob, when you just made that comment.
Well, currently 47 degrees. We've got the Asphalt Cowboys just coming in their yellow attire.
Well, yellow, and they're riding in here.
Oh, you know, we
they're
were
riding
at
strong.
I have to tell you, share this with you. We were at Bastiani Arms the other day, and they're up there, and they go, well, we're looking for blanks for the Cowboys. I said, woo! I didn't want
Asphalt
you to know that.
Cowboys shoot with blanks? Oh, no.
Hey, this is the week. My gosh, we've got
the
yellow posters are everywhere. The men in the yellow shirts are in everywhere, and we're here with the grand. What is your title, Grand Marshal?
Top hand.
It after this breakfast, which is we call my breakfast, which doesn't have anything to do with it being my breakfast, because we have so much help to do that. Then I become top hand for a year, and I'm Gordon, and I'm here with Barry, and he's been the top hand before.
Oh, okay. Now, when we see what does the top hand do?
Basically, there's a board. If it was a business, you'd call it the board, and the board is the one that makes all the decisions, and the top hand is the one that instruments those decisions all year long.
Okay, so you're like the head guy. You do, you know, they make decisions, but you make them happen.
Depends on whether or not it's good things going up the chain or down the chain.
Oh, okay. So you can also give lots of direction, too, I would imagine.
I could do that. Everybody has an opportunity, I think, at that point, to put some sort of a thumbprint on that that's going to be an everlasting thumbprint that is some vision that they have with the Asphalt Cowboys.
How long have you been doing this?
I've been in the Asphalt Cowboys for 9 years.
And how long have the Asphalt Cowboys been around?
Since 1953. They were formed to promote the rodeo as the basic primary charter for the Asphalt Cowboys. The rodeo got too big for the Shasta County Sheriff's Posse that put on that rodeo. It got too big for them. They needed somebody to help promote it while they could run the rodeo. And that's basically the inception of the Asphalt Cowboys. It's grown since then, but that's where we first came from.
But you do so much more all year round besides just the rodeo. I mean, you've become this institution. You do a lot of charity fundraising. What would you say, besides the fact that you're extremely busy the week of rodeo, tell us some of the other things you have your fingers involved in. Your hands.
Those hands.
Let's tell us about those other cowboys, what they're involved
in. There are
in.
Several events we do all year long. Walk for Life is the Relay for Life is one of them that we put on a breakfast. We have to do fundraisers all year long, not only for the nonprofits around town, but we have a heck of a lot of costs that we incur every year through insurance, through equipment maintenance, and that sort of a thing. We're one of our, again, primary functions would be that we are available to feed 10,000 people in 5 hours. Should there be some sort of a disaster, an emergency, a need for that, we have all of our equipment that's all mobile, all on wheels. We're already pre-sworn in by the sheriff, and we're ready to help in the event of any kind of
thing. Oh, that's an amazing idea. Did you know that before, Carl?
No, I didn't know that.
So there's a disaster that happens into this great city of ours. Mm-hmm. The Asphalt Cowboys are there ready to cook for the masses.
To feed the masses. That's one of the things we do.
We're actually volunteer sheriff deputies. We're all sworn sheriff's deputies. And
thus the badges.
Yes. Those are the...
Oh, you wear those with pride.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, not
we all do.
It's like a member of something that's bigger
than... This is kind of like the deputy sheriffs. You're part of the posse there. When there's times of need, the Asphalt Cowboys are called up because you are, you know, you're sworn in as deputies.
Yeah, and we're, you know, our duty in the event of an emergency or a disaster would be to feed the minions, you know. We can feed, well... Just like the big breakfast, we can feed 10,000 people in 5 hours.
Which we hope to push up to about 11,000 this year.
You know, that's what we want. We want 11,000 having pancakes, you know.
We're going to be down there doing a live remote, flipping pancakes, shaking hands, looking at people, and greeting our friends and our neighbors and saying, this is so awesome. This is a time people come together. I have lived many places in my life. I have never seen anything quite like the Asphalt Cowboy Pancake Breakfast. Really?
There shouldn't be anything like it. I don't believe, and we all do not believe, that there is anything that even comes close. Calgary Stampede, the Cheyenne Wyoming Rodeo, nobody does this like we do. So this may just be the only one. Could be in the world.
Well, you know, Years ago, we did the dinner for the California Sheriff's Association. The conference was held up here in Shasta County, and we did a steak feed for them. And several of the sheriffs from various counties in California said, hey, can you guys come down to our county and do this for us? We're not quite that mobile.
Yeah, you just have a little cattle drive, take the steers down there and all that.
Well, Friday is the top hand dinner. That's the kickoff, basically. This is the beginning of the events. But you start so many months before that, really planning everything and doing where you drive around town. And like you said, you had the truck and you were like yahooing and...
There's an interesting thing. If I don't know who's on Facebook or might be on Facebook. We had something on our Facebook page. We have a Facebook page. And somebody from Pennsylvania had been here, and they were in town and just happened to be in town the day that we were on our trailer driving around shooting our guns to announce the ticket sales. And they put a very nice comment on there about how cool they thought that was. Once they figured out what was going on, they thought it was really, really cool that this community has something like that. And it's on our Facebook page.
After they dove under the bus, they went, oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Shootout, this is like here.
An old-fashioned, you know, roundup. So we start Friday with the top hand dinner, and then the big night, Saturday night, with the Reading Rodeo, your kickoff barbecue dance. Tell us about Saturday night. We'll just go down and talk about different things. We have some time here.
Well, actually, the Rodeo Association's kickoff steak feed. And that's a blast. They barbecue steaks, coleslaw or salad, and beans and bread, and have great bands down there. And actually, they have a great bar, too. But it's a lot of fun.
You know, from that, I know the next day is that you all and the Reading Rodeo Association put on its Special Kids Day on May 10th, on Monday at 9 a.m. at the Rodeo Grounds. What exactly happens there?
Well, that is Special Kids Day, and mostly it's one of our most important events and one of the ones we are closest to. We take some of the kids in town that would be special kids, and they come down to the rodeo grounds, and between us and the Reading Rodeo Association, each and every one of them gets to sit on a horse and walk around the arena on a horse. And it's really kind of moving for us, and it's really therapeutic for the kids. It's a neat thing to see.
It's the most emotional day for most of us.
Oh, that's great.
Because the kids, you know, they can be scared to death, and you put them up on that horse, and they just are nothing but smiles. It's just amazing.
For a second, they're all cowboys.
So I understand that for wives and for businesses, if you're an asphalt cowboy, they realize that for this week, they're basically, you're not around. You are so involved with the organization and putting everything on. So we commend you guys for your dedication to putting this on and helping our community just really celebrate something that's really fun. But we got to take a break here. When we come back, we are going to be taking your calls here, 605-4567. If you've ever had a question for the Cowboys, the Asphalt Cowboys, now's the time. This is Carla Lindabot here on Free Fire Radio. You're listening to KCNR 1460, clearly, News Talk Radio.
Good old... Easy to love and they're harder to hold. They'd rather give you a song than diamonds or gold.
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio. It's Carl and Linda Bott right here on KCNR 1460, and we're joined by the Asphalt Cowboys.
Can I just tell you, I have always had a soft spot in my heart for cowboys, and I grew up in Pleasant Valley, which is right north of Placerville. And my dad, we worked on it. Had a 5-acre ranch, but there was hundreds of acres around us. And we, we had horses, and we had to work. I belonged to the 4-H, you know, with the horses and the chickens and the whole thing. But there's just something about cowboys and people that know how to work the land and have appreciation for the land and roundups and some of the old-fashioned rodeos, you know, the old-school rodeos. Are some of the best entertainment and the coolest insight to America or Americana that there is.
You know, our guests today are Barry Weiswasser and Gordon Bach from the Asphalt Cowboys. One is the top hand for right now and the of the Asphalt Cowboys, and Gordon will be taking over, if I'm right here, for Barry.
Well, actually, I'm a year past
being
you're past.
Top okay,
hand,
I'm sorry.
And Gordon is going to become top puncher, which is actually the president of the Asphalt
puncher.
Cowboys.
Okay.
Right.
After your year as a top puncher, if you make the cut, you become top hand.
Okay.
But nothing is engraved in granite yet.
Okay. Oh, you know what?
Every I'm time we get that bet squared away.
Every time they say that, you know, it's like a little thread here. Hey, you know, do you want to give away something right now?
That's correct. I've got two tickets. This is the 62nd annual Reading Rodeo. Two tickets. That is going to be for Thursday, May 13th. Two tickets, folks. Give us a call, 605-4567, for your two free tickets for Thursday night. I think that's opening night, right?
Yes. Rodeo. Rodeo, get your free tickets, 605-4567. First person to call gets them.
So, you know, I remember when you, ever since I've been in Reading, this big old bank holdup you guys have.
Well, no,
people don't even know if they're going to be.
We don't actually rob the bank.
You rob people.
It's that darn lone stranger that comes in while we're flirting with the bank tellers, and all of a sudden these guys show up, rob the bank, and I don't know what it is, but every year they've managed to make their escape.
Well, you know what? It's
what a novel
approach that the lone stranger is robbing the bank instead of the other way around at New York. But
okay, it's just a little statement. There.
I've had girlfriends that have been stuck in holding cells all day long waiting to get bailed out. Hey, we rodeo tickets went to Joy. Congratulations, Joy. We're already giving them away.
Yeah, we'll give you a call after the show and tell you when to come down and pick them up.
No, we're giving two away each day until Thursday, so
right.
You'll have tomorrow.
Thursday.
And yes, that's correct.
Two a day because you know what? I love rodeos. I love rodeos. When I was younger, I rode bulls for a while until common sense kicked in, and I realized that my right arm was now a foot and a half longer than my left arm, and there were parts of my body that were in different spots than they should have been. And then I thought to myself, you know, this is really a lot of fun, but not something that I'm going to continue to do.
Well, yeah, but didn't you ride bulls when you were in the Marine Corps?
The Marine Corps has this great rodeo at Camp Pendleton, and what they did was, as they said, you know, they'd let the Marines ride. You know, it was for military personnel, and they brought in the bulls so you could practice. After 3 weeks of practice, I realized that there was no more practice that was ever going to help me at that point. And
okay, let's go back to the rundown. After the bank holdup, well, we didn't talk about the golf tournament. Now, the golf tournament is on May 10th. That's Monday.
That's after the special kids' day.
Right.
We all meet down at or up at Gold Hills Golf Course. I've heard, and I'm not a big golfer. I've never golfed, but I've heard that our golf tournament is one of the best ones in town. You get more bang for your buck out of ours, I guess, is what they say. We serve lunch and we serve dinner. We have zillions of door prizes.
Do you like beer holes there?
Nobody has ever left.
The golf course is a beer hole.
Nobody has ever left unsaddled. There's no plenty of oases in the desert at our golf tournament.
All of a sudden, your carts, they have little horsey heads on them. You're like, yeah. How about the chili cook-off, which is happening May 12th?
One of the guys is in charge of that event. He's been out promoting it really, really hard. I think he has somewhere around 20 entries right now. And that's a lot of fun because we set up all in front of our clubhouse, which is turned into Buckaroo Flats, of course. It's all fenced off, and the stage is there for our street dance. We have our cell phone shootout, our quick draw contest. And that's a lot of fun, and it's a free event, and I'd urge everybody to come down and get involved in those sort of things because it's nothing but a lot of fun.
Well, we're going to be there. You know, we've had special invites for the chili cook-off.
Chili cook-off.
So we will be there.
So are you guys judging?
Nobody's asked us to.
No, we're chili cook-off that segues into dancing.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Who's playing?
The
Double Take.
Double Take.
You know what? We saw them the other day. You're talking
the
about
Cool April Night.
Cool April
yeah,
Night.
About
yeah.
The brothers,
we saw them
right?
up in Selma.
Yes.
They were great.
You know, they are great.
Yes.
Yeah, that was good. And then we've got, The Kitty Pet Parade at Mount Shasta Mall. That starts at 3:30.
You know what? The more kids that can show up, the better. I mean, it's a great time for the kids, and I think the mothers take such great pride in their little boy or girl carrying their glass bowl with a goldfish in it. It doesn't matter. They have any kind of pets you can imagine, snakes, dogs, cats, miniature horses. I mean, and they're all trotting around through the Mount Shasta Mall, and it's just, they have a blast.
That's
we're
going
to have to take a break. When we come up, we're going to talk about now. We're going to get into serious
now
rodeo.
We're getting into the serious fun.
And it's all serious
it's
fun.
All been, it's all been great fun, but now we're going to get into serious fun. You know, it's just...
Some of the riders and the bull
riders.
They said,
why did you move to Reading? So I can watch the guys in the yellow shirts once a year. Carl Lindabot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, clearly News Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen...
Yeah, well, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Hey, good morning. It's 7:55. It's 50 degrees. It's going to be a great day today. I think it's going to get up to 74. You know, it was 18 degrees in Alturas this morning. Yeah, a little bit cold up there, but that's what you get for living in Alturas. Hey, our guests today are Barry Weisswasser, Gordon Bach, and somebody else just rolled in here. Wrong side there.
Oh.
Ron Wickensheim. So now Wickensheim, I'm sorry. Now Wick and Wise will be on next week too with their certain brand of insanity that they roll in here with. And
we carry plenty with us.
And they carry plenty. And they're also, you know, and look what I have for you two next week. Miss Rodeo is going to be here too.
All right.
Oh. Yeah, so they're
always looking forward to hanging around with the Reading Rodeo Queen.
You know what?
Poor little thing.
It's better than hanging around with some of the other people we do. All right. Okay, we're going to talk about the Chili Cook-Off, and of course, your street dance, the Kitty Pet Parade. The pre-rodeo grand entry starts at 6 p.m. at the Reading Rodeo Association on May 13th. And what anything special about that?
Well, what's real special about that to us is we're going to be in bed shortly after that because we're going to be downtown at 2 o'clock in the morning to get our
because
our breakfast
the next
together,
day is the event. That's the Pancake Breakfast, Roaring Gulch on Market Street between South and Placer from 5 a.m. to 10 a.m. It costs $3 in a pre-sale for a ticket and $4 if you show up. And you know what? We have a few tickets. We'll be giving those away. Not now. Don't call. But next week because we've got a lot of tickets to
awesome.
Give away.
Good.
And that, you know, we're going to, in fact, Linda and I will be out there on the remote right there close to you all. We'll get there early so we can put up our tent that says
it's a good spot.
KCNR 1460. You know, we'll be guarded by the buckaroos there, the Asphalt Cowboys.
That'll be us.
Yeah.
Good luck. Yeah.
And then we have another, Thursday night then on May 13th would be the first night for the rodeo.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next night, of course, is Friday on the 14th. And then we have the parade, great event in our
absolutely.
Town. Tell us about that.
Well, you know, we are, I believe, the only no-entry fee parade in California and one of the biggest in the United States. And it's just an awesome parade. We have well over 100 entries from horses to, you know, different floats, and all the bands from all over the area. And, everybody has a great time at that parade.
Well, you know, we are honored to have been asked to be announcers for that parade.
Oh, good.
I know I know there's different announcers at different places, but, you know, we're just really looking forward to that. First of all, it goes back, we love rodeo. And then to have a parade like this in our town, I mean, we're just really happy about it. But then, you know, then we have, after the parade, then it's the, it's the last night for the rodeo. And can you tell us some of the, I mean, this is one of the, I know this is, you don't get specifically in this, but this is one of the big rodeo events of the out here on the West Coast because of the money that's added and everything, isn't it?
The way they did their points or something, and I don't know all the ins and outs about it because I'm not that privy to that information, but something about how they do their points and how they do the purses and how they add things up that we've become a much more important rodeo than we were in past years.
And that's the way I understand it. It was that the because of the amount of money they've added, so people try to, a lot of the of course, the Professional Cowboy Association, they like to come rolling through here. Now that night, that's the night that that Linda and I are attending, is Saturday night, and we're really looking forward to that. So it's a we've had great times every time we've gone.
I think most of the cowboys go on Saturday night because, you know, all rodeo week you're worn out going. Thursday night, forget it, because you got to be in bed by that time. And then
who goes to bed?
You know what? I have gone to sleep at the clubhouse and woke up a couple hours before I had to be downtown with the breakfast. But, yeah, most of us, I think, go on Saturday night.
And you'll see us with our yellow shirts on. We all walk over together and have our seats in various places throughout the arena.
Now, Chief Hansen does not mention anything about gangs or anything. You know, you guys carrying weapons and wearing all the same kind of clothes and just being, rowdy.
We're a protection.
Yeah. It has to do with our handkerchiefs, what color our handkerchiefs are.
There you go. Hey, okay, we got like about a minute left. What's the big thing you want to tell everybody? Now, we're going to be having you back on next week, too, but, you know, we're getting ready to kick this thing off.
This is a breakfast that has over 10,000 people every year, and we want to continue to grow that. Come and have breakfast with 10,000 of your best friends. It's the best place in the world to be able to wave and say hi to everybody you haven't seen all year.
That's great. Yeah.
Weather's supposed to be great, too, I heard.
I think it's going
Looking
to be.
Looking forward to it. Yeah,
I think that the weather's clearing up now for us. Our guests today have been Barry Weisswasser.
Ron Wickersham.
You know, this is not my fault. He walked in, sat down, and he won't show me his name tag here. This is a thing that he shows me his. I could say, oh, and this is Deputy Sheriff, and then of course Gordon Bob. You know, the men that are.
It says on there.
Pretty small print. I could read that 34 years ago. You know what? You all have a great time in this, and you do such a great thing for our community that we applaud you. And, again, as we've said, anything we can do to support our community, you know, we're right in the middle of it up to our hips, too.
Well, thanks very much for having us on.
Okay, well, like next week we'll see you all again. This is Carl on the Bottom, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Our guest when we return will be Randall Faulkner, candidate for the Shasta County Auditor. Join us after these messages. This is KCNR Shasta Redding.
Fox News Radio, I'm Dave Anthony. They can't...
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio. This is Carl and Linda Bott, KCNR 1460. Phone lines here are 605-4567. You know, we stream at kcnr1460.com, and you can write to Linda at kcnr1460.com. You know, before we get started with our guest, Randall Faulkner, who is running for the Shasta County Auditor position. We of course listen to the news when we're getting ready to, you know, right before we get ready to start here. And you know, one of the things, National Prayer Day, and now it's been fought at the, you know, at the level, and some federal judges said, oh no, you can't have National Prayer Day. Does that just upset anybody but me? That it's like you can do everything else. You have National Prayer Day. What's wrong with National Prayer Day? Nobody's forcing you into it. You know, it's like people want to censor radio and TV. Oh, Rush Limbaugh, he's a hate monger. Well, you know what? He's not a hate monger if you don't listen to him. You know, personally, I don't think he's a hate monger anyway. You know, I mean, Keith Olbermann is a lunatic. But I don't listen to him, which means, I listen to him sometimes, you know. You know, sometimes when things are quiet and my blood pressure is really down, I'll flip over to MSNBC when I can still find it, because so few people are watching it. I think they've moved the channels. And I listen to Keith or Rachel for a few minutes, get my blood pressure back up. But see, the point is I don't have to listen to them. And that's the thing about it in our country, is the fact that, you know, you start putting more and more restrictions, guess what? You don't have to do these things. You don't have to listen. You don't have to pray. You just don't have to. So just keep taking our rights away. And pretty soon, you can't do it. And that's my fear. Okay. This is not really fair for me to do that before we bring on our guest.
I want to quickly, if you are just tuning in, by the way, it's 8:07 in the morning. It's currently 50 degrees. It's going to be a beautiful day with a high in the 70s. We are taking your emails, and you are going to want to email or call in this morning, and the hotline is 605-4567, because we have Randall Faulkner, who is running for the Shasta County Auditor. Good morning, thank you for being our guest this morning.
Good morning. Can I address the national prayer there?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
There are some folks that put Bible readings on for 4 days in a row prior to today. I think it ends at noon today. And I had the privilege on Tuesday of reading a couple of 15 minutes of the Bible, and they read consistently all through the entire Bible for 4 days in front of City Hall. And I think that's a remarkable privilege that I got to do that.
Well, it is. It's a
dedication.
It's not a privilege. It's a right. And, you know, there's a difference between a privilege and a right. You have a right, you know, for religious freedom. You have the right of free speech. You have the right for a trial by jury. You have the right to own and possess firearms, no matter what the state of California believes. But you have that right. And the Supreme Court has come in and said we have those rights. You know, so when you get, you know, you have meddling judges that get into things like this and just, you know, oh, let's just chip away at this. You know, and they wonder why the Tea Party movement started. They wonder why people are irate. They wonder why Congress and just the legislation process has got a 22% approval rating. And my question is who is the 22%? There must be, you know what? Those are your loonies. I'm sorry. Because we had Randall Faulkner on today to talk about his candidacy and not to get fired up on these other things.
Well, there's issues I'm sure we'll be covering that a lot of people are concerned about.
Well, the truth is that's why I'm doing what I'm doing. The concerns I have is our country's not headed in the right direction, and people have to step up. And my generation has had the best living conditions of any generation ever, and we have to take responsibility for our government. And right now we're in trouble, and I can't do much for the federal and state. I can send letters and emails and phone calls, but you don't make a heck of a lot of difference. What I'm doing here locally, I can make a huge difference.
Well, here's our chance one more time. We've had you on before, Randall, but as we get closer, we're 32 days away from the election. People have seen the posters. They're going to be going to the polls. Let our listeners know who you are, and then we'll go into some of the, you know, we can break things down. But who is Randall Faulkner?
Well, I can spend my time telling you on my personal life, and believe me, I'm very, very privileged to have a wonderful wife and son and my family and my faith and church. But I'd like to go straight to why I'm doing this. I've worked most of my life trying to make government effective and responsible and efficient. I've had a couple of jobs where I've really, really enjoyed and made a huge difference. I worked for 5 years briefing a 2-star general and his staff on $250 million budget every month during some very, very tough financial times. It was very, very rewarding. I also spent 6 years working for an organization known as Operation Mongoose under the Department of Defense, where I managed and audited for fraud and erroneous payments across the country in Florida, Texas, Ohio, Southern California, where we would take audit teams of 8 to 12 folks and work and audit and find suspicious payments. So those jobs were very, very rewarding to me. And what I've seen, what I saw at the Shasta County Auditor's Office disturbed me to the point where I have to, if I know that I can change something, I have to do it. If I don't step up and do it, I'll regret this the rest of my life. So somebody had to step up and make a change.
Okay, our guest is Randall Faulkner, who's running for the Shasta County Auditor's position. We've got to take a quick break here. It's Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, Clearly News Talk Radio.
A mother's...
Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. It is 8:15 in the morning. It's 51 degrees. It's going to be like 74 today.
Weather's always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards.
Great place to take mom to.
Our favorite destination getaway, that's right. Go to our website, KCNR 1460, click on the Anselmo weather.
And then just check out Anselmo's. I was just pointing to me to say I needed to say something.
Well, say it.
This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Espresso Joe's the finest place to get coffee there in town. You can get that made any way you want it. And then, of course, the humidor there in Tobacco and Brew is the finest walk-in humidor in the state. Not only that, but after you get your coffee, you can go next door and where they have a Wi-Fi area. You can sit down, peruse your computer for any length of time, as long as you're still buying coffee from Espresso Joe's.
Our guest today is Randall Faulkner, who is running for the Shasta County Auditor. And, Randall, as you sit before us, you have Elect Randall Faulkner, CPA, your badge, and there's a check mark that says Shasta County Auditor, Ask Me Why. Why?
Well, like I said before, I've seen the inefficiency that exists there, and I know that I can make a big difference. There are two main goals that I would have if elected. First, I want to restore fiscal responsibility, accountability, and transparency to the Shasta County. We need to begin to perform actual audits. We haven't had internal audits for years. Internal audits are an invaluable tool for managers and the taxpayers to determine which organizations, which departments and programs are effective and efficient. If I'm elected, we will perform internal audits, and the final reports will be available to the taxpayers on the county website. That will include a formal fraud detection program, which is capable of avoiding incidents like the recent fraud case in the Sheriff's Department. And as a certified public accountant, I have proven my skills. They've been tested and certified by independent accounting experts. There's a reason why all 50 states require CPA credentialing, and that is to protect the public. The second item that I will bring, my other goal, is to bring proactive leadership to the auditor's office. There are two people I like to quote in describing my leadership skills. First, Ross Perot once said that you don't manage people, you manage inventory, that you lead people. And Dwight David Eisenhower once said, leadership is like a string. If you grab one end and you pull, that is leadership. You can't go to the back end of the string and push it and expect the string to move forward. I believe that the way you develop a good working atmosphere is that you develop open, honest communication, discussions, and opinions without the fear of reprisal. My management style will reverse the 86% employee turnover rate in this department.
You said here is that you need to be a CPA. It's by law to be the county auditor.
No. They don't dictate. There are three qualifications to be a county auditor. One, you can be a CPA. The second one is you can have a degree in accounting. Or the third one is you can have 3 or more years as the assistant. What's happened in Shasta County is we haven't had someone with an accounting degree or even a degree in any subject for 11 and a half years that I know of.
We are taking your emails if you have a specific question. We'd be glad to read it on the air for Randall Faulkner, and that would be Linda at KCNR 1460. My question would be for you, with many of the billboards, posters that are going out and being on the campaign trail, What happens when there's vandalism with those signs? Where do you go with that?
Well, first off, I'd like to say that this has been a very, very positive, invigorating experience because I've met thousands and thousands of people, and I can't tell you how supportive they are, particularly those folks. I've met so many folks that are former employees at the county and even current employees that are really thank me for what I'm doing. However, there is a real seedy side that I really didn't expect when I got into this because I'm not a politician. I'm a professional accountant. And we have had a lot of vandalism. We actually have a suspect we've had 12 signs destroyed. I've actually had people watching, and we actually have caught a suspect. But they're continuing to happen. What it did was we had 12 signs destroyed. Probably 7 have been cut up with some kind of sharp object, a knife or a box cutter or something. So, you know, it's not something I want to dwell on, so I want to move on because my energy is towards the campaign.
No, absolutely, and as it should be. I just know personally how I would feel like, you know, doggone it, you know, you're out there trying to do your best.
I will say one thing. That the most disturbing one was most recently. My wife is going to do her service at her church, and the sign right across from the church, she called me and was quite upset because there's a big hole cut out of the center of it.
Wow. Okay. So. Well, all right. So, and people who do any kind of vandalism at all, you know, shame on you. And I hope that those people that are caught are very much held accountable. We have three emails that have come in, and I would like to start with the first question. I won't say who has sent the emails. I'm just reading them to you. It's how long has it been since you've received your CPA license, and where have you worked since receiving it?
I graduated in 1980. I went to work for the federal government, returned to work for the federal government in 83. I had some very rewarding jobs. In 1995, they were going to close McClellan Air Force Base, so I went out and took the CPA exam in 1996. I passed all four parts of the CPA exam in one sitting, which is quite an accomplishment. I can tell you that the percentage to do that is around 10% probably. So I was very happy to have done that. Then when they closed the base, my wife and I moved to Monterey, and she went to work for the Defense Language Institute. And I fully expected to go to work for a CPA firm. Instead, I found this organization, Operation Mongoose, which was auditing for fraud with the Department of Defense, and there were 15 employees. I was exposed to some of the best government I've ever seen. I've seen a lot of bad government, but I can tell you that I worked for a while with the Defense Manpower Data Center. Very, very efficient folks. I can't tell you how wonderful it was to work there. So I didn't get the experience qualification to get my certificate. When I had a little scare with throat cancer in 2003, they prompted me to come to my home in Palo Cedro. It's 7 years now. I'm doing very wonderful. I need to give back to the community. I went back to work for a local CPA firm and worked for a year to get my experience requirement. Received my CPA certificate in February 2008, I believe. I've had 10 or 12 years of auditing experience. I just did not have it written, certified by another CPA. So I've had my certificate for, 2 years? I've had many, many years of auditing experience. I do know how to do audits. I do know the phases of an audit, which includes a planning phase, do some risk analysis in order to determine where you're going to put your most effort in the next phase, which is your field work, where you'll do some analytical review, maybe some statistical sampling. And then when you're done, you have a final report, which then should be available to the public and should be available to those department managers.
We are. That's wonderful. Our guest today is Randall Faulkner. We've got to take a break here, but when we come back, we have more emails from you, our listeners. Again, Linda, email us at linda@kcnr1460. We'll read your email to Randall over the air. It's currently 53 degrees at 822, and we'll see you after these messages. Variations of respect. I don't know. I think there's only one diva that can really throw this one to the ground.
Throw it to the ground and then wrestle it? What?
Yeah, absolutely.
Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Okay. I'm not sure what you're talking about. Hey,
yeah.
Phone lines here, 605-4567, or write to us via Linda at KCNR 1460. You know, we're streaming at KCNR1460.com. Our guest is Randall Faulkner, who's running for the Shasta County auditor position. You know, Randall, we've got a number of questions in here, too, from it. But the your opponent is saying, you know, 19 years of experience. Mm-hmm. 19 years of experience in the auditor's position. You don't have that type of experience in the county auditor's positions.
No, I don't have that kind of experience in the county auditor's position. However, I have 30 years' experience in accounting and auditing. The truth is this position has two components, the controller function and the auditor function. And the auditor function is the elected portion. When you hear that she's been in the position, but we're not doing any audits. We haven't done any audits for a long, long time. When you talk about the accomplishments here and you talk about processing payroll, and you talk about upgrading the financial system, those are controller functions. Those are routine controller functions. Those are not major accomplishments.
Well, our next question from on the internet that was sent is, why haven't regular random audits been done before? Why wasn't the stealing at the sheriff's department caught by the auditor? Question mark.
Well, I can tell you why. There's two reasons why we haven't done audits in this county, in my personal opinion. One is we haven't had a trained auditor in almost 12 years. We haven't had someone who has the technical skill and training to understand what an audit is. Currently, the incumbent will talk about that she does, I've heard her say, she does thousands of audits and she does them every day, and that she audits every single transaction in the county. That's not an audit. That's paying the bills. That's bookkeeping. That's the routine accounting functions. Okay. I was distracted there. What was
Oh, no, 2 minutes.
Just ignore Bob flashing signs. Yeah. It has nothing to do with you.
Okay, repeat that again. The question
about
quick.
why wasn't the sheriff's office caught?
Well, I'll tell you, that's one of a sore subject with me, because I was actually working in the office February to April of 08, and my expertise is in fraud detection. I spent 6 years studying fraud and looking for fraud. I recommended at that time, in talking with the accountant in the sheriff's department, that they install a formal fraud detection program, particularly in these cash receipt programs. And I was told, we're not going to take the time to do that, that it was not a deterrent to crime. I believe if you had done what I asked, that I recommended, we would have caught that fraud case. And it is an example of where we close hold financial information right now. There are many, many reports available to the auditor's office that are not available to the departments. One of these reports is a trend analysis, what I call a revenue trend analysis report, which is simply a 36-month revenue report by month, and you can look at the revenue. Now, some of these programs, cash receipt programs, like the concealed weapons permits, are very, very consistent. People aren't giving up their permits. They're renewing them. So you would see if someone was taking money from you, you would see it drop it down.
Okay, we're going to have to take a break here, but we do have actually several emails have come through this morning, Randall, and the next 30 minutes till 9 o'clock here on the rest of Free Fire Radio, we're going to be talking to Randall Faulkner, who is the candidate running for county auditor. This is Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, clearly News Talk Radio.
60 a.m., clearly News Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. You know what? The internet lines are being burnt up right now. We're getting message after message. You know, in one way that's good. I mean, you know, people want to have they want to ask questions and they're sending it via the internet. In other ways, you kind of like to get them on on the phone and listen to them. You know, this portion of the show is brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop. That's right, DC Tim and the Mysterious Haircutter right down there. They cut hair. They're not stylists. They aren't any of those words that you hear sometimes associated to people in New York, you know, when it has to do with hair. They cut your hair. They do a great job, great prices, shave around your ears. You know, this is not a place to go get your hair styled or gelled or dried or foofed. There's no foofing going on there. It's man's last stronghold. You go in there and you get a haircut. It's a great experience. They're great men. You sit down and talk with them, and the customers there. You know, it's a hoot when you're going in there anyway. And if you go in with a pair of Vans like Rich Bay did, you can always give them away right there.
Vans or shoes, by the way. Currently 53 degrees. Time is 8:36. Our guest this morning is Randall Faulkner, CPA, who is running for Shasta County Auditor. We have several emails, but here's something that we did discuss at the break regarding the vandalism of the signs. You know, you can run, but you can't hide, because as we heard it, we're not going to put a lot of energy around that. Somebody has been caught. Pictures have been taken. So just remember, people may think this, and this is not just with election signs or other things that, you know, some people think they can get away with stuff. And
yeah, my favorite part of that wasn't a kid either.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay, here's a question that came in. Let's pull this one up. We've got several of them. How much are you planning to spend on your campaign, and who are your major supporters?
My major supporters are mainly me. I'm very uncomfortable going and asking people for money. So I mainly support myself. I took a little loan out on my house because it's that important to me. I know that if I don't take the action that I'm taking, I need to do it. So I'll regret it the rest of my life, as I said before. Basically, it looks like it's going to cost me about $28,000.
Okay, here's another one. Define this 86% turnover. How are you getting the number mathematically, and are you including positions affected by budget cuts?
No, and there were no budget cuts that caused these positions to. The 86% turnover rate is based on a Freedom of Information Act request I made of the personnel office. There were 22 positions at the time when February, I mean, I'm trying to think of the year, 2007, I believe it is. Let me. But basically, 19 people had left in a three-year period. So 19 divided by 22. They couldn't tell me exactly how many employees were there. They could only tell me the number of positions. So there were probably less than 22. So the turnover rate's 86%. It's probably larger because they probably didn't have 22.
So you're saying since 2007, in the space of 3 years, you're talking about as of today's date, that of the 22 positions that were there, that 18 of them left?
19 people left. So that there were a number of folks who came and then left. And if you read the grand jury reports, are very revealing as to some of these statistics are absolutely amazing.
Yeah. Okay, now your grand jury reports, they're dated at what dates are they?
There's 2002, 2004, and 2009.
Okay, now, and we're not here to fight the fight for the other person. But
right.
This was addressed yesterday.
Yes.
The 2002 and 2004 report, mm-hmm. she said, I wasn't the auditor.
Yes, and that's very interesting because she also talks about accountability, and she'll take all the credit for the things that went on during that time period. She was the assistant auditor, and one of the first grand jury findings was that, quote, her boss spent insufficient time in the office to manage the staff.
Well, we do have several emails, and I know at the break you said just bring them on,
yes.
And I'm just going to read the emails that come in, and one is, good morning, I keep hearing Randy make the statement that the audit of claims is merely paying of the bills and not an audit. Government code, California law, doesn't agree with the statement, see below. This is precisely why the experience in county government and with government code is so critical for this position. When you are an auditor and working with the GAAP, you always have an auditor or other person you can consult with. But the auditor in this office needs to have experience, exposure, and knowledge of all California laws and not just accounting practices. What do you say about that?
Well, I say that, yes, you can. An auditor is someone who looks over an individual claim. But when we start talking about internal audits, that's a real audit, and that's where you would audit programs and departments, and you would have some final report after you've done your field work. That's what's missing in this office. Times are going to get very, very tough here financially for this county. If we don't know what programs and what departments are effective, we're not going to make smart decisions. We're going to have to make some cuts. If you don't know where you're doing a good job and where you're doing a bad job, that's not good. We're going to just be throwing a dart and making cuts. Yes, I don't want to put down auditing individual claims or processing payments. However, those are accounting functions. Those are not the auditor functions.
Okay, we have another question here. If elected, what county departments would be at the top of your audit list?
I would say there's everyone should be looked at. I think that we need to make this government more transparent to the people. I would say that some areas are like low-hanging fruit. When you have programs that are cash receipt programs or cash expenditure programs, those need more oversight. For example, the concealed weapons permit. So, go ahead.
No, I was just thinking about when you said low-hanging fruit, that if on cash-only programs. One of the things we want to talk about when we get back is incumbents in the office this year may not be a great deal for incumbents because of the anger with everybody. This is Carl and DeBott. We're going to take a quick break here. Carl and DeBott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, Clearly News Talk Radio. Fireworks.
morning, 55 degrees here on KCNR. 1460. It's 8:45 in the morning, and we're talking with Randall Faulkner.
You know,
this
it's gone
morning.
Up 5 degrees since we started.
I know
morning.
It's going to be a beautiful day. High of in the 70s. Randall is running for he is the candidate for the Shasta County Auditor. Tell us about your website. Let's go there.
Well, I've just recently redone the website. I made sure we have links to all of these grand jury reports and little excerpts so people can see the actual reports. So that you can see that you don't have to trust Randall. You can go look at the website, particularly look at the CPA, independent CPA review. When they did this review, the turnover rate at the time was 60%. And they told you why people left. And the percentages are something I've done management audits in the past. I've reviewed many of them. And I can tell you I've never seen numbers this bad. When 3 out of every 4 people who leave in any period of time say that they left due to unfair treatment by management, those are huge numbers. I've never seen anything that big.
Wait a minute. Do you see that because, is that written down someplace?
Yes, it is. It's on. It'll be on the website. Go to the, it's called the Rose Accountancy Corporation out of the Bay Area. We paid them a very, very good chunk of money to come here and do this report. I really encourage people.
Who's we?
It's Shasta County. We, the taxpayers.
All right.
At the recommendation of the grand jury, the supervisor approved and paid for this report, but it's very, very excellent reading.
And what was the date on that?
That's 2004, and the turnover rate has gone to 86% in that time period. Things have not gotten better. Those are the exact things that I witnessed when I was there. When I left, my main thing was management by fear. You will find, and I hadn't read this till just a couple of months ago, that some of the comments are managers with fear. If you read through this, it's just fascinating reading.
Well, and then yesterday, Connie Regnell, your opponent, said that 14 of the 19 people that are in her office have
endorsed
her.
Yes, and I don't know quite how to say this politically correct, so I'll just say this: they better. That when I was there, I saw a lot of that. Part of the reason they have a huge turnover rate is if you disagree with this incumbent, you may not have your job soon.
Okay, well, now an email came in, and, of course, this email is in caps. And if anybody ever gets an email in caps, you know that somebody's saying something very loudly. Hi, Randy. You worked in the auditor's office for 7 weeks, and yet you profess to know more about the office and how it works than those who have been working here for years. I have an email that you sent to the managers in this office when you left employment that states, and I quote.
Okay, now this is... Okay, now this is something that is that privileged information here. That anyway, they've got one from the office that you know that they said you sent when you left.
And basically, what I say is I want to keep good relations with the folks that were there because I do feel very much empathy and sympathy for these folks that are still there. So yes, I have no problem with you reading the email. I wrote the email.
Okay, that's good. We like the transparency. It says hi. Well, the names of the ladies. I'm really sorry about the way things turned out. I was truly looking forward to becoming part of your team. I am greatly impressed with the quality of your staff. I've been under the weather this past week and feel that it contributed to our misunderstandings. I sincerely wish I had taken more time to listen rather than speak. I wish you only the best. Anyway, thanks again. And that was dated April 11, 2008.
Right. The quality of the staff is excellent there. I really want to compliment the HR department because they do a great job of screening applicants. They get very, very quality staff. And the last portion of this...
Anyway, thanks. Okay, so how do you explain...
Let me tell you what happened
okay.
there. Part of when I went through the interview process, the last interview was with the incumbent. The comment was, you understand this is an at-will position. You can be fired at any time. I was warned of that at least every single week. And every time I would ask, am I doing something wrong? And the answer was no. Now, then I had throat surgery in 2003. It's not pleasant to get a cold. Somebody at work, one of the other supervisors, was coming to work sick and wouldn't take a day off work. I mentioned that if you were sick, I thought you should go home and that you would get well quicker. And then 2 more people got sick. So now 3 people are hacking and coughing in the office, and it's not pleasant when I get a cold. And I'm working with these people every day in offices. So, yes, I got sick. I took 1 day of sick leave off. I came back and was given my walking papers. But I really had no animosity towards the auditor or this office. My frustration now is strictly with efficient government. We need to change this, folks. This kind of management style, very, very reactive, very, very, there's a code word there where you say, I'm going to hold these people accountable. What you're really meaning, if you don't, you need to create an environment where they're successful, not where they fail. Some of the Rose Accountancy Report says one thing. 42% of the people who were hired in the period they were looking at didn't make it 12 months. 12 months, 42%. And a third of those people went on to be successful in other departments. This is very poor management going on. And this is the reason I'm doing this, okay? We have got to change our government. I can't change the federal and the state, but this is not hard to change for a professional accountant and professional manager.
Okay. Our guest is Randall Faulkner, who is running for the Shasta County Auditor position. And we're going to take a quick break here. It's Carl and Linda Bott on KCNR 1460, clearly news talk radio.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Our phone line's here, 605-4567. Hey, we're getting into our last segment here. I just want to remind everybody that it's National Prayer Day and that there will be a... Bob, what did you do with that note? Bob erased the note.
I was making room for incoming callers. Anyway, we got a call from our regular listener, Roberta. The local observance of the National Day of Prayer will be noon at the Reading City Hall. And in light of the Supreme, in light of the court decisions, this could be a big issue. So they're encouraging everybody come down. Theme is Heal Our Land.
Yeah, you know, it was the Minnesota or Michigan federal judge said it hasn't gone up to the Supreme Court. But I hope it does, and I hope they, make the right decision.
Well, it's currently 55 degrees, and it's 8:54. We're about ready to wrap up our show, but we wanted to let you know again that if you're just tuning in at the very last minute here, our guest this morning has been Randall Faulkner, who is a candidate for Shasta County Auditor. We had his opponent on yesterday. We have weeks of people that are running for office tomorrow. We have Doug LaMalfa on, and we'll be taking your calls and your emails as we progress along, and I would like to read another email for Randall. This one, could it be that the turnover was because of the folks, that the folks weren't doing their jobs and that the new regime wanted to clean house, ? If so, what would be wrong with that?
Well, first off, you have to look at the whole picture. This went on for 11 years. And cleaning house will go on forever if we don't stop this. It's very, very expensive. Integrity is everything. I ask you to look at the Rose Accountancy Report. I don't lie. And I'm telling you the truth. And you don't have to trust me blindly. I ask you to just openly look at the evidence. And one of these things I know that my opponent accused me of take parsing words out of the 2009 grand jury report. She repeatedly claims this is a clean report. I want you to listen to this sentence that she quoted also. Staffing shortages in the auditor's office have limited the ability to complete internal audits for fiscal year 08 and 09. However, the auditor recently hired a CPA to supervise internal audits. We've had CPAs over the last 3 years, 11 years, and we're not doing audits. The staffing shortage is not a numbers staffing shortage. It's an expertise staffing shortage. We have not had an auditor who knows how to do audits. And until we do, we won't ever have audits. And the other reason is it's not a staffing, it's a shortage of experienced auditors because of this huge turnover rate.
Has there been any disasters in the auditor's office in the last 11 years?
Disasters?
Yeah, I mean something that, everything stopped.
Not to my knowledge. No.
Anything that's that has come through, I'm sure there's been outside inspections. I mean, he's talked to grand jury, said, okay, we had the problems back in 2004. This one you're just talking about, that was from years ago. But, I mean, has anything major happened?
To my knowledge, no. The only thing we're not getting is good financial information. No, we are meeting the minimum qualifications required by law. I'll read one more sentence in this 2009 grand jury. This is 2009. Says the auditor stated, well, I'm assuming that that's the incumbent, but it's on the grand jury report, that the Shasta County produces only those traditional financial statements required by law. There are another report that really efficient and effective counties do, and it's called a CAFR report. a comprehensive annual financial report. That will tell you where you're efficient and where you need improvement. And we need to have those things. We have met all of the minimum requirements. We are not doing anything beyond that. And the reason is because we have an auditor with absolutely minimum qualifications to be in the job.
And finally, we have another email. We've got 3 minutes left here, Randall. There are rumors that you're vandalizing your own signs in an attempt to get media attention. What do you think about the statement, first? Second, also, you claim to want to save the government hundreds of thousands of dollars, yet how can you justify using already stretched government resources, in parentheses, sheriff or RPD, to look into such futile matters?
Okay, first off, it is ludicrous to say I would cost myself my own. It's probably cost me over $1,000 now to replace these signs, and a lot of time. It's been a lot of effort re-putting these signs back up. Integrity is everything to me. My reputation is really important to me. The people who know me know that that's absolutely ludicrous. They call me and say, Randy, did you know your sign was down? And I'd say, no, but it doesn't surprise me. And then they would actually come out and help me, and we'll put the signs back up. As far as the hundreds of thousands of dollars to go, I can save. I know specifically how I can save hundreds of thousands of dollars in this office. Currently, you have 20 people in this office. You have 5 supervisors and 15 workers. Now, they are not all that experienced anymore because of this huge turnover rate. But it just, if you change the atmosphere to a good, productive working atmosphere, these people won't leave, and you will have experienced, competent people stay. It is amazing. It is true. The quality of the staff that's there is phenomenal. And I think we all agree on that.
And finally, your closing thoughts. We have 1 minute.
My closing thoughts are that I'm doing this for the right reasons. I want to make government efficient and effective and responsible and transparent to the voters and taxpayers of this county. We deserve that. We're paying a lot of money for this position. We need a qualified auditor who will give us the information we need to make smart decisions for the future. We do this for our children. We do this for our veterans. We cannot let up. We have got to stay the course, and we need to get the unqualified folks out of our government.
Okay, thank you. Randall Faulkner, who's running for the Shasta County Auditor's position. Tomorrow we're going to have Doug LaMalfa will be calling in at 8 o'clock, but also our guest will be Jack Turner, who's the president of the California chapter of the Veterans of Foreign Wars, will be in here tomorrow morning. This is Carl on the Bottom, Free Fire Radio. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
This is KCNR, Shasta Redding.